All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. Welcome to Straight from His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle.
Dear Fathers, thank you for your love, your mercy, grace, your compassion. We thank you for the beloved Son of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for the gift of eternal life. We thank you, Heavenly Father, we've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy and that the power of sin has been broken over our lives today. We thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, your compassion. We thank you for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit, O God. We thank you for our Comforter. We thank you for the healing anointing to drive out the spirit of sickness, disease, and infirmity in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord God, for breaking the yoke of oppression and depression. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for binding the spirit of mind control that blinds people's minds from hearing and receiving the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for your glory being revealed to your people in a great and a mighty way. I thank you for releasing your warring angels to push back the forces of darkness over this area, over this region, that the strong man will be bound, that the thrones will be toppled, that the glory of the Lord might be revealed, that we might experience revival. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your healing power. I thank you for your healing anointing. I thank you for breaking the yoke, God, the yoke of heaviness and the yoke of oppression in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, and I thank you for driving out the spirit and infirmity of lung cancer. God, I thank you for healing lung cancer. God, I thank you for healing diabetes, type 1 and type 2. God, I thank you for the miraculous power being manifested even now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, and I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for the financial miracle, the financial breakthrough that is needed. I thank you, Lord God, for providing the job and the promotions. Lord God, and I thank you, Lord God, those that are seeking a place to live. Lord God, those that have a desire to purchase a home. I thank you, Lord God, for the right home manifesting itself and the purchase price and everything closing according to your will and according to your purpose. And I pray, Lord God, that your glory be revealed and that our hearts be open to hear and to receive your word with a spirit of meekness in the precious and the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Welcome straight from his word. It's a blessing to be here with you once again to share the word of God. Truly, we serve a mighty God, and I'm just grateful and thankful that the Lord has blessed us and allowed me this opportunity once again to be here on the airwaves with you. Truly, we serve a mighty God, and I'm just grateful and thankful. You know that, God is good, saints. God is good. To the first time listeners, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. I give it to you straight with no sugar added. I'm not the typical radio preacher. Give it to you straight with no sugar added. If you struggle with something, you hear me say, get on your knees, pray, seek the face of God, and see what the Lord says to you about it. Because, you know, if you have an issue, it's an issue with God's word. As you know, you hear me say this over and over again. As Paul kept saying in his epistles, I bring this to your remembrance. We are living in the last days. We are living in perilous times. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ is imminent. The urgency to get into a covenant relationship with the Lord, to seek his face and know him and to be in fellowship with him is extremely important. You've heard me say that we've preached a man-centered gospel and not a Christ-centered gospel. There are so many people that do not have a personal revelation of who Jesus Christ is. We need revival. You know, I was contemplating this. And I was just like, Lord, open up our eyes that we might see and open up the eyes of the people in the body of Christ that if we're not stirred and moved by what we see, what is going on in our society today. You know, the major issue that's in the media today is the issue of abortion. And thank God for the states that are now passing legislation to try to ban abortion because it is a counter to the policies of the liberal party. And you know what party I'm talking about if you've been following the news. Promoting late-term abortions, infanticide, you know, killing a baby. And it's not right. We should say, this is wrong. This is not right. And if you profess to be a believer in Christ Jesus, there's no way you can condone the murder of an innocent child, killing a child in the womb. We use the term abortion, but it's actually a murder. And it should grieve us. I know it grieves the Spirit of God, particularly when you have people who profess to be believers saying, well, abortion is okay. It's a woman's right to choose. But, you know, Jesus told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. You know, life begins at conception. you know, and we need to be praying that the hearts of these people that promote these type of policies will be removed from power. But at the same time, that we need to do a heart check and say, God, you know, what is it about me, Lord, that I've embraced this and I embrace these people who promote these type of policies and things that promotes killing unborn children? And I believe God is ready to move in this area. God is ready to bring revival. We need revival in so many levels. And, you know, we're dealing with, as we look at our country today, we need to be saying, Lord, send revival. We need revival. We need revival. We need revival in the body of Christ. It's not time for us to be playing church, going about the, you know, just the regular routine. We get caught up in these rituals, these religious rituals, and we've not allowed the Holy Spirit of God to have liberty to move in our assemblies and in our lives. We need to get to the place where we're yielded and we allow the Holy Spirit to just break forth and to move in our lives, to where we have genuine conviction, genuine conversions, genuine repentance, that we might experience a revival, that we might experience the presence and the glory of the Lord, because our series is called Lord, Show Us Your Glory, and we need that personal revelation of who God is. We need God's glory to be manifested in our personal lives so that when we're out in the highways and the hedges, that we can minister the word of the Lord to those that are hurting and those that need to hear our God's word. You know, we left off in Revelations chapter 1 and realizing the fact that, you know, a lot of people and a lot of believers are afraid to go into the book of Revelations. Let's go to Revelations chapter 1. And we were talking about the glory of the Lord and what the Lord looks like, revealing God's glory and the glorified, resurrected Lord of Lords and the King of Kings and what he looks like. And it's extremely important because, you know, many times we have bought into the false narrative of who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is not effeminate. He's not weak. Matter of fact, if you study the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ is definitely, he's the Lamb of God, but he's also the Lion from the tribe of Judah. And he doesn't play and he doesn't tolerate mess. In Revelation chapter 1, we see John as he was in the Isle of Patmos, and it was on the Lord day that he had a vision and a revelation of the Lord. And this is a theme we've been dealing with, when God has revealed himself, when you see what God really looks like, it can change your perspective on how to serve him and how to worship him. Because we think the images that we see, I call them the Catholic Jesus, that's not him. When you see these pictures of him, that's not him. He does not look like that. And I've given you chapter and verse, and I'm showing you what the resurrected and the glorified Lord looks like in his glory. And in verse number 8, we left off in verse number 9 last week, so let's go to verse number 8. And as John was caught up into this vision, and think about this. When you talk about the book of Revelation, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ and the end time events that are going to occur. And the focus is going to be the nation of Israel, the Middle East, and all of the things that we see happening and taking place right now. We listen to the news reports and different things like that. Everything is going to be centered around Israel and the city of Jerusalem, the capital, God's city, Jerusalem. And we need to understand that as we are praying and seeking the face of God, you hear me say, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because, you know, scripture commands us to do so, and you'll be blessed if you do so. We're praying that the will of the Lord be done, because it's all going to take place in Jerusalem, the center, the nation of Israel. That's why we ought to be praying for our Jewish brothers and sisters, and those that, you know, that we have our Messianic brothers who have accepted Yeshua as Messiah. And it's extremely important. I'm asking the Lord, Lord, give us a burden, a heart for the Jewish people, that we begin to pray and intercede for them. Those that are in Israel and those that live in the United States. I believe the United States has the largest population of Jewish people. That's why, you know, when we had the attack on 9/11 and it was attacked in New York, because there's such a high Jewish population. And the enemy hates the Jewish people because the Messiah is Jewish. And here in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 9, this was the voice in the vision. It says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which was, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, also, who am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos on the word of God for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He had been banished because of his witness and his testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, as he was preaching the full counsel of God's word. He said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And he said, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Now, here's a description of the resurrected Lord. And you tell me if this lines up with the pictures that you see, images that you see on the in the portraits and the things. God help us, right? You know, I had to laugh and chuckle because we're so gullible. You know, we just buy into everything. We just receive whatever the denominations give out to us. We say, okay, this must be God's word. This is no, saints, no. This is what our resurrected Lord looks like. It says, his head and his hairs were white like wool. Now, if you have in one of them cars, those images and those things like that, you see that's not him. Okay. And he's not black. You know, we got the black folk. They want to make him a black Jesus. No, he's not black. He's Jewish. Okay. And his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death, and write the things which are seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter, and the mystery of the seven stars which I saw in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which I saw are the seven churches. So here we see the revelation of Jesus Christ. Here we have the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos on the Lord's Day. He receives this revelation of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And we see what he looks like. We give this description of the glory of the Lord resting upon him, the glory of the Lord resting on his face. And we see that he's about to get a revelation of all of the end time events, everything that's going to take place, the conclusion of the world. But we see the revelation of God's glory being manifested right here. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is who we serve. This is who we worship. Not the image that you see on the pictures and the portraits and the cards and all of those things. He's never looked like that. That's not him. Oh, God, haven't you ever noticed and wondered, saints, and you've heard me talk about the Babylonian culture that the Catholic Church is rooted in, which is paganism and idol worship. Haven't you ever noticed the crucifix that they have him on the cross, but he's not on the cross? He's not on the cross anymore, and then matter of fact, it was an execution stake that he was crucified on, and it's amazing how the Roman Catholic Church tries to keep him on the cross and the baby Jesus and Mary, because they say Mary is a co-mediatrix, a co-mediator, and that's not true, which is a part of the false narrative. That's why it's extremely important that we have a revelation of who God is, that we have a desire to know him. The scripture tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, go there with me, you're listening to straight from his word, that the Lord has placed a ministry, a fivefold ministry in the church, and it's imperative that this ministry begins to operate on all levels. Part of the reason that the church is tossed to and fro by every wind in doctrine is because in many mainline denominations does not embrace the fivefold ministry that God has placed in the church. Whew, man. You know, and by the way, in Ephesians chapter 4, whenever you read and study in Ephesians chapter 4, you're going to see it talks about the unity of the Spirit, and that we have, you know what? You know me, saints. You know, that's why we call this program Straight From His Word. we walk through the Word of God, because it's extremely important that we understand what God says about who we are and who we're called to be in the body of Christ. So we're going to start reading in verse number 1, Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1. And this was the church of Ephesus that the Apostle Paul had written to the church at Ephesus. And he says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation where you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as we are called, and one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all." And understanding the fact that essential to our Christian faith is the unity and the belief that the confessions that there is only one Lord, that there is only one Lord, means that Jesus Christ and his work of redemption is perfect and sufficient, and that no other redeemer or mediator is needed to give the believer complete salvation. You see, saints, as believers, we're to draw near to God through Christ alone. The one Lord means that to profess equal or greater allegiance to any other authority, secular or religion, either than God revealed in Christ and his inspired word, is the same as withdrawing oneself from the lordship of Christ and thus the life that is in him alone. There can be no lordship of Christ or unity of the Spirit apart from the affirmation that the Lord Jesus is the ultimate authority for the believer, and that his authority is communicated in the written word of God, and realizing that we're called to be united into the faith, and realizing that it's about worshiping the lordship of Jesus Christ. There's no power, there's no authority, there's no name under heaven given whereby men might be saved. Your denomination can't save you. Buddha can't save you. Oh God, the rocks and the crystals and all of those things, they cannot save you. When Jesus came and died for us on the cross at Calvary, he was the sacrificial lamb to redeem us from the hand of the enemy, to pay the ransom price, to break the power of sin, to break the demonic stronghold over your life. That's why every believer should be walking in liberty and freedom, because we're called to walk in liberty and freedom. And in verse number 7, the scripture tells us, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? That he also descended first unto the lower parts of the earth. And he that descended in the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things." And it says in verse number 11, and he says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Now, these are the ministry gifts of the church. It's considered the fivefold ministry that should be operating in the body of Christ. But many of the mainline denominations, they do not operate. They only function. They only work. They only have pastors and teachers. And in some cases, evangelists, the apostles, and the prophets are basically left out of their ministry, because many of them say, "Oh, that went away with the apostolic ministry, went away with when the last apostle died," which is not true. It says God gave this to the church. These ministry gifts are individuals who have gifted to be able to flow in these offices. And the purpose of that is verse number 12, it says, "For the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." There is a place of perfection that we are to be striving for. And God put these ministry gifts together in the body of Christ so that we can reach a place of spiritual maturation and spiritual maturity. So we are perfected in Christ and we know who he is. And it says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we hence will be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine." The word doctrine means teaching, "by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." It said the purpose of the fivefold ministry is the perfecting of the saints. Not that we become these supernatural individuals, but that we come to the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, which cements our relationship and our fellowship with him. Much of the preaching and the teaching is all about you, us, and not about Christ.
Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. All preaching, all teaching has to be Christ-centered. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth is come, he's going to testify of me. You see, we need to have a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. We need to fall in love with Jesus Christ. We don't need to know of him. We need to know him. We need to be in an intimate relationship with him because that's what he's called us to, saints. But we're not living in that. We're not walking in it because the fivefold ministry is not walking in this. This is one of the reasons that we're not seeing and experiencing the presence and the glory of God because we've not done it God's way. We have deviated from God's standard and God's word. And when you don't have the full fivefold ministry functioning according to God's word, then his glory is not going to be revealed. Oh, you have a lot of people running around calling themselves apostles and they're not. They've appointed themselves as apostles and they're not. The term apostles means to be sent. It means to be a missionary. And understanding the fact that there are the original apostles, yes, but then there's still the apostolic ministry office of the apostle, which goes about building and establishing churches and all of those things and making sure that the churches are preaching and teaching sound doctrine. The prophetic ministry, the ministry of the prophet was around before the apostle. The prophetic ministry, the prophet existed before the church was ever established. God takes these prophets and he sets them apart. God raises up his true prophets for his purpose so that when people are not listening and hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit of God or God wants to move in their life, he will raise up a prophet and he will send that prophet to speak the word of the Lord to them to bring them back into fellowship with God or to speak God's blessing into their life because they have been found faithful. It says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ. For from whom the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love and realizing the fact that we will have unity in the body of Christ when the fivefold ministry is operating according in the denominations. But we're not seeing it because realizing the fact that we serve a God of power, the church was established in power, and if the power gifts, the apostolic, the prophetic, is not moving and operating, which when you're going to see the miracles and the signs and wonders and the healings and the deliverance, that the church is out of order, saints. We're missing so much because the enemy has deceived us. The devil is not concerned if we have a 5,000 member church, but we have no power. No power to heal the sick, no power to cast out demons, because that's what the church was commissioned to do. When he commissioned his apostles, he sent them out to heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead. In the book of Acts, you see the ministry and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God was to bring deliverance to the captives because Jesus said, I came to preach deliverance to the captives and to set people free from their sin, from their bondage, wherever the places that the enemy has driven them. Jesus Christ came and died that power will be broken over their lives so that they could walk in liberty and freedom and enjoy fellowship with Father God. It was the heart of Father God that he sent his son to die for us on the cross at Calvary to allow his blood to be shed for the remissions of our sins. And all we have to do is acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came to redeem us from the hand of the enemy. Saints, I can't finish this today. Be praying for me here at Straight Word Christian Ministry. I need your prayers. Your financial support is the Spirit of God moves on you to bless the ministry. Please be obedient. Be praying for your family members and loved ones that they would open up their hearts to receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, Jesus Christ is Lord. Return imminent. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem as the Bible commands us to do so. Pray for your co-workers that their hearts will be open to receive the gospel. Remember, I love you. Shalom, shalom, shalom.
You've been listening to Straight From His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle. If you'd like to contact Pastor Dermothy or send him a gift of support, the address is Straight Word Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 25348, Federal Way, Washington 98093. That's P.O. Box 25348, Federal Way, Washington 98093. Or you can call 253-431-7375. Again, 253-431-7375. On the web, it's straightwordministries.com. That's straightwordministries.com. Tune in again for more Straight from His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle.